resurrected King is resurrecting me. Amen. I have a little bit of a congestion cold thing going on, so I hope that you can understand me clearly and it comes through. Thank you for being with us today. The room was abuzz with excitement. And why wouldn't there be excitement and joy in a room filled to bursting with a group of the closest friends? For years, they traveled together, their feet treading the same paths as they went from village to village, their heads resting on the same cool earth, side by side as they slept in the homes of strangers and friends. They were so close. They were so close that they knew each other's quirks, those weird yet endearing habits we all have. So close that they cherished every opportunity to be away from the crowds. So close they loved to just be together, eating and talking and laughing, stepping away from the responsibilities and the chaos that lurked just outside the door. The room was comfortable, the room was warm, warmed by the bodies lounging close together, warmed by steam rising from freshly baked bread, the smell of roasted meats mingled with sweet fruits, grapes, figs, pomegranates. They added pops of color to the table, hues of juicy red and purple. A feast lay spread before the group, a feast uncommon to the groaning of their empty stomachs. They survived off the generosity of others, and this table was indeed generous. They lounged on plush cushions so thick that they left impressions when they reached up to refill their goblet. The room was comfortable, the room was warm, warmed by frequent bursts of laughter and broad smiles shared between friends, warmed by the voices of good company, warmed by bodies finally able to relax. Peace cloaked the room in a solid embrace. But at the center of all this excitement and this joy and this warmth and comfort, Jesus sat there at the table, thoughtful, quiet. Only if you knew him really well could you tell that he was anxious, that he was concerned. And in his mind, thoughts kept tumbling over one another. I found you. I asked you to walk beside me, to be my friend, to be someone I could trust. I kept you close to my side. I taught you. I comforted you. I revealed to you the very will of God. I didn't need you. I wanted you. I called you my brother. Did I not do enough for you? Did I not give you everything? No, not everything. Not yet. I loved you. I still love you. A stone plate collided with the floor, followed by the dripping of wine. The liquid slowly poured from the table, leaving blood-like droplets at Jesus' feet. The brief chaos woke him from his troubling thoughts. He looked down at the cloth in his hand. It was still wet from washing the disciples' feet. He wrung that damp cloth taut between his hands, leaving red marks against his palms. His eyelids fell closed with ease. but he couldn't escape the rhythm of his heartbeat as it pressed against his eyes. Around him, voices mingled in a fog of familiarity. Even with eyes closed, he knew each voice by name. No matter how many voices cried out to him in the streets for help, he knew these voices more completely than any others. They were his closest friends. They were his chosen disciples. They were meant to journey with him through this life. But the hour had finally come where they could no longer remain by his side. The truth is that one of you is going to betray me. Every voice fell silent, drowned out by fear. The warmth of the room dissipated. Every eye flickered to another's face, their own shock and uncertainty mirrored in the eyes of someone else. Jesus met their familiar gaze as they waited for explanations, anything that would quiet this fear and uncertainty. This can't be. What does he mean? What does he mean someone will betray him? Who would do such a thing? Who is it? Why would any of us do this? This can't be true. This isn't right. Jesus could see their unspoken questions, the turmoil making every muscle tight. Tension filled the space between every friend, every brother. Jesus drew a deep breath, heavy and labored. The pain that began in his head ran through every vein and settled in his heart. A whisper interrupted the silence. Who is it, Lord? Who is it? No answer. Jesus' lungs collapsed. His shoulders fell against the weight of the question. They have to know. They will know soon enough. The time has come. Every sound echoed through the room, the nervous shuffle of feet against the floor, the movement of fabric, cushions, and pillows. Jesus reached out and felt the soft touch of bread against his fingertips. He tore a small piece from the loaf. The crackle erupted in the room. Lifting the bread, he dipped it gently in the bowl at his side. Every eye followed his slow, deliberate movements until finally he spoke. The one I share this bread with is the one who will betray me. Every person withdrew from Jesus as he lifted the bread and gave it into the hand of Judas. Their eyes met. They knew. Jesus knew what Judas was about to do. Judas knew what he was about to do. With every word, Jesus sealed his fate. Hurry and do what you're going to do. Judas fled into the night. He exited. And the disciples found themselves uncertain. They now knew who would betray him, but they didn't understand. Jesus looked on in silence, his eyes following the path that Judas left. I found you. I asked you to walk beside me, to be my friend, to be someone I could trust. I kept you close to my side. I taught you. I comforted you. I revealed to you the very will of God. I didn't need you. I wanted you. I called you my brother. Did I not do enough for you? Did I not give you everything? No, not everything. Not yet. I loved you. Judas, I still love you. A voice spoke out over the 11 present, aimed directly at Jesus, waking him from his troubled thoughts. I'm ready to die for you. Peter's eyes were defiant, strong, unstoppable. Jesus knew that expression well. Peter Peter didn't realize that he was not the one whose death would be required. Jesus met his gaze. A light sigh escaped his lips. His eyes looked tired from sleepless nights, older, worn. The other disciples turned from Peter to Jesus and back to Peter again. Peter didn't understand. "Will you really die for me, Peter?" Peter lurched forward, ready to defend his statement, but Jesus' soft voice interrupted. "The truth is, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will be the one to deny that you ever knew me 3 different times. We know the rest of the story. In the darkness that followed, both Judas and Peter proved the words of Jesus to be so true. In an act of greed, with a kiss, Judas handed his friend over to the authorities who would kill him. In an act of fear, with curses on his lips, Peter denied that he ever knew his friend. 3 times he would claim he didn't know a man he promised to die for. How deep was their betrayal? How deep was the one who betrayed you? How painful was their offense? Was it strong enough to leave you wounded, where you couldn't shake the pressure, the heavy hurt that swelled beneath your chest every time you thought about them? You hated to think about them. Did it cause sleep to leave you in the night, when your mind wouldn't find quiet because you replayed over and over again the conversation? Did you spend your time trying to think of the perfect word, the perfect response to them that would wound them? Or was their betrayal not so brutal? Did their betrayal come in quiet whispers behind closed doors, where they spread lies about you, where they shared your secrets? Anger clouded your judgment. You fumed, you screamed when no one was there to hear. You clenched your hands into fists. Was it that rude email or text or call? With no regard to your opinion, did they brush you off as though you were a child? Did you feel small, so you chose to make them feel small? Did you walk away? Did you run? Did you hide? Did you act like everything was fine when they were in the room, and then save your venting for later? I asked you to walk beside me. I called you a friend, a sister, a brother. I didn't need to spend time with you. I wanted to. I comforted you when you lost someone. I went to doctor's visits. I invited you into my home. I shared my heart with you. I gave you my precious time. Did I not do enough? I loved you. Do I still love you? Where does love find its place? In the middle of betrayal, in the center of this story between in a place where you would not expect to find it. According to John 13, love finds its place in the most unlikely place, nestled in the center of 2 stories about betrayal. You see, Jesus confronted this traitor and this liar. He told both of them the things that they were about to do. And his pain was justified. 2 men that claimed to be his closest friends were about to do these horrible things to him. And Jesus, he brings their failures to light. He tells them the truth of what's going to happen. But Jesus doesn't do what I like to do when I'm betrayed. He doesn't speak to condemn or to wound or to hurt. He doesn't lash out when he had every right to lash out in anger and rage. But instead, in John chapter 13, Jesus doesn't do either of those things. Do you know what Jesus told his disciples? What he thought was most important that they should know. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Love changes the way that we see betrayal. Love won't allow us to inflict pain, no matter how justified we may feel. No matter how great or small the offense, love won't allow us to look on our brother with rage and anger. Love won't allow us to vent to another about how we've been wronged. Love won't allow us to be silent, to walk past without saying a word. Love won't be displaced by bitterness. Love won't cause division. Love will never say you aren't worth my forgiveness. Love tells a world that must have revenge, that cannot forgive, that Jesus was here. We're the ones who bear his name. We're the ones who claim that he loved us and we love him. And we have to follow his commandment. By this, all people will know that you are disciples of Jesus, because you are willing to go so far as to provide forgiveness for those who don't ask for it. You're willing to shake hands and be joined again to your brother. You're willing to see the value in every soul, even in their darkest moments. You're willing to communicate, to talk it out. You're willing to listen rather than to speak out in anger and frustration. You're willing to go as far as Jesus himself. We're willing to die for those who betrayed us, for those who broke our hearts, for those who caused us such great pain. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you live as I lived, if you forgive as I forgave, if you love. So this morning, I want to offer an invitation to you that if there's someone that has betrayed you or hurt you or broke your heart, are you letting love really rule your life? Are you willing to forgive them? Are you willing to seek reconciliation? Because Jesus was willing to go so far as to die for a traitor and a liar, people that should have known better, people who knew him. And I really think we need to be challenged to consider who we're willing to forgive. So let's pray together. God, I confess that there are people in my life that I have been unwilling to forgive. People that I have felt betrayed me and wounded me. And I hold on to so much anger and mistrust. God, I pray that you will soften my heart, that you will soften our hearts.
as you loved us, as you loved the very people that betrayed you. God, help us, for we cannot do it without you. It's not by our own power that we can forgive, but it's by your Spirit living in us. So God, help us do it. Help us make a commitment today, right now, to just try, to love those who have betrayed us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.